this talent, God.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you. You got something to be thankful for. There's absolutely no doubt about it. We are fortunate. Remember how important it is for us to know how fortunate we are. It fills our hearts with gratitude. When our hearts are filled with gratitude, then our mouths overflow with praise and thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. Amen. Amen. This is the Passover season, and I was thinking this week about passing it over. I was thinking about Jesus. I like to think about Jesus as a man full of the Holy Ghost. And I like to think about the things that He said, like when He said, I don't do anything but what I see the Father do, and I don't say anything but what I hear the Father say. And so how He meditated and contemplated the promises of God. And as I looked at this and I thought about the triumphant entry, and I was imagining that Him, before making the trip to the city, saying, "You got this, right? You got this?" And God saying, "I got this." And when someone says, "I got this," if we trust them, then they got it. That's it. I chuckle, and I often talk about back when the Lord first brought us back to Highmore, and we were doing praises in the park, and John was forever loading equipment and taking care of equipment, and I had been doing that for quite a while on my own, filling the back of my pickup with pianos, moving them into bars and stuff, you know. And so you got this way that you do things, and John just had a servant's heart, and so I go to get something, he'd say, "I got this," you know. And I came to the place where actually what I ended up doing was I just didn't help much anymore, because of the fact that He got that. And if I kept watching Him do it and it didn't get loaded the way I was used to it getting loaded, I would be in danger of sinning. So I just said, "He's got this." And so I could wander around and talk to people, and He got it. He would take care of it. And that was a great lesson for me. It was a great lesson for me. And God has been, in so many words, although until this week I never really looked at it this way, for my life since I got saved, He said, "I've got this." When there were questions that were bombarding my mind as we sat in a Bible study, what He was saying was, He said, "I got this. You just keep on. I got this." I do some thinking sometimes. I think about, you know, what in the world were we thinking when we came back to Highmore? Why did it seem like a good idea, you know? And there were a multitude of times. We had lots of opportunities for the enemy to say, "You made a mistake." The only thing was, is I didn't know enough about the enemy to listen to what he said. Problem is, sometimes we get so good at knowing about what the enemy has to say, we listen to him too well, you know? And I was so intent on hearing what God had to say and getting to know the Lord that it really didn't matter anything else. Now, looking back, I think that was really, there were some pretty crazy things. And no wonder it didn't make any sense. And I've shared how I according to Vicky's uncle, her dad wasn't always complimentary of me, which I couldn't figure that out. He should have loved me. But when I look back and I think about all of a sudden, I'm going to take his daughter, and we don't know what we're doing, and we don't know where we're going. And, you know, I think no wonder he was a little concerned for a time. But God's got it. And to learn to pass it over to Him, you know, at Passover, God said, okay, here's the deal. Kill a lamb, put the blood on your doorpost. Death angel's going to come through. It'll pass over your house. Really? I mean, you think about that, like what Vicky talked about. You know, Zacharias, you know, actually his wife did remind him of her prayers. He just wasn't praying it. But his wife, you know, because I mean that, she was all the time upset about, all she could think about was that she didn't have a kid. And you remember Samuel's mother, she wanted a kid so bad, she said, if I get a kid, I'm going to just, going to leave him with the Lord. She didn't go back to church for a long time because she didn't want to leave the kid. You know, weaned him when he was about 13 because, you know, I'm just kidding. I don't know when she weaned him, but when she did wean him, he could hear the Lord and run to Samuel in the place. She got to see him once a year when she took him a new little robe, her little prophet. But it was worth it to her. You know, God has said to us, I've got this. In Christ, he's got this. He gave us the Holy Spirit as a down payment, a guarantee of everything that he had promised. The presence of the Lord. Last week or the week before, I got a letter from a young man in jail. And he wrote, he said, I just want you to know you make a difference in here. He said, I noticed last week that when you were talking, a lot of the guys were tearing up. And, you know, I thought, that's pretty cool. Well, when I went to visit him, he told me about how he got there. Meth was going to kill him. If you want to go on the computer, he didn't write this poem, but he said, look it up. It's called My Name is Meth. And he said, that'll pretty much tell you what my life was. It was a meth. It was a mess. It was killing him. And now he's dealing with the fact that he got his mother involved in it, only she ain't off of it yet. But God says, I got it. See, in all things, God says, I got it. I'm more than able. I can handle this. So when I think about Jesus and him knowing what was coming, you know, and he always, do you ever, I was thinking also about the fact, you know, remember when his folks came when he was a kid and they were mad at him? Because he didn't travel with them and they scared him and they've been running around looking for him. And, you know, he passed it off on his father. He said, didn't you know I'd have to be about my father's business? What are you going to say to that? I mean, you've done it. We've all done it sometimes saying, well, I just felt like this is what God wanted me to do. Having a hard time to convince ourselves that it really was God wanting us to do it, but it seemed like a reasonable excuse is what it is sometimes. Not all the time. You know, there are times when God wants us to do things, you know. But we often pass things off on God, don't we? Well, what we need to do is trust him enough to pass it over when it comes to everything. You see, again, when we think about Zechariah's wife, all she could think about was what she didn't have. What happens to you and to me when there's something that we don't have that we want? What do we think about the most? What we don't have and what we want. We think about somebody done somebody wrong song. We think about what somebody did to us rather than what Jesus did for us. And when all we can think about is what somebody did to us or something that we don't have, we can't pass it over to God. Because we don't have the faith to pass it over to God. Because we're not sure that God can handle it. And so we hold on to it and that's all we think about and that's all we think about. And God said to me that what we could do is we could think about what it's like when it's over. You see, Jesus, I believe that he said to the Father, you got this right. I believe he went into the city and he was able to receive the praises of the people. Just think, if all he could think about was what was coming. He'd be riding through and they'd be going, Hosanna in the highest. And he'd be saying, yeah, right. Tomorrow you'll be yelling, crucify me on you. You know? But that wasn't what he thought about. He took it while it was coming. Yeah, he knew everything else that was coming. But he said, you got this, God. Now, it's not written in the Bible. But that's the only thing he could do, isn't it? To say, you got this? You can handle this? Can't you? You promised? You know, God won't be offended when if you pray and say, Lord, you promised this. And because you promised this, I'm passing it over to you. Remember, Lord, you promised. David would pray that way. You promised. Jesus would pray that way. You have said, Father, he passed it over and believed it when he passed it over. It would be a great season, the season of Passover, for us to begin to pass it over. To learn to pass it over quickly. To recover quickly. And if we don't recover quickly, just take his mercy quickly. Take it quickly. One of our little gals had a little train wreck. One of the gals from jail and posted on Facebook, I'm sorry for everybody that tried to help me. Apologize. You know, I said, hey, let's get after this. You were clean for a long time before you had a little wreck. Jesus doesn't condemn you, neither do I, but let's defeat this thing. Let's pass this over to God once and for all. Let's not let the enemy accuse us and condemn us and say, there's no hope for you. Oh, our blessed hope, there's always hope with the Lord. And when we pass it over, no matter how terrible the circumstances look, once we've passed it over, we need to keep saying, the Lord has it. The Lord has it. No matter what it is, God can handle it. You got this, right, God? I gave that to God. I gave that to God. The enemy will say, then how come you're thinking about it? You say, because I'm giving it to God. I ain't going to think about it. I'm not going to focus on it. I'm not going to look at what is wrong. I'm going to think about how good it's going to be. What will do a young lady who is pregnant and going to have their first child the most good? A bunch of people sitting around telling them, oh, this is the most terrible thing you will ever be involved in. It's going to be awful. The pain will be this and the pain will be that. Or some people saying, you know what? It'll be over and then you'll have that precious baby in your arms. You see, you can pass it over. That doesn't change what you're going through. It doesn't change what is exactly present. But it does change when you begin to focus on what's going to be. How many women do you think have at one time or another in the middle of giving birth had nothing but awful thoughts about their husband and absolutely no way are you going to do this to me again? And the baby's born and they nurse that precious baby. And Tara says, I have... And they've got that precious baby, and a little while, these words start to come out of their mouth. Can we have another one? You know? We had a gal at our house yesterday, just sort of the same thing. She said, I don't know, our baby's just kind of at that age, and you could tell she was thinking, maybe they could have one more. And her husband was sitting there looking like a deer in the headlights. You know? But the point of that is that for the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross. There's joy set before you. And if we learn to pass it over, casting our care upon God because he cares for us. Well, he hasn't fixed everything I prayed about. I don't care. Not that I don't care, but I don't care. What he hasn't fixed, does that mean then you quit? Hey, I got tires on my vehicles that I have aired up for years before I finally got them fixed so I didn't have to put air in them. I I've got one tire on a vehicle now that they took off. They never could find a hole in it. They decided that it must be something with a bead. They reset it. It was supposed to be good. I still put air in it once in a while. But I put air in it. I don't come out and say, oh, it's low. Never going anywhere again. It's just going to get lower. Oh, look, it's flat. Who'd have thought it'd go flat just because it lost a little air? You know? You let your faith lose a little air, it's going to go flat. Pump it up. You can recognize, you know, if you look, you can recognize you've got a low tire, right? If you look, if you listen, you can tell if your if faith's gone a little flat. You know? Pass me that air hose, please. I need a breath of the Holy Ghost. Remind me to pass it over. Pass it over. You look like somebody that needs... What a great opening line if somebody's having a bad day. You look like somebody that needs to pass it over. What do you mean, pass it over? Thought you'd never ask. Pass it over. Pass it over to God. God will take it. God will take it. Man, raising my children, I was always saying, pass it over. Pass it over. Pass it over. Michael still sets his plate beside me if he decides he doesn't want to eat everything. He passes it over. I take care of it. Pass it over to God. Learning to pass it over. I mean, you don't have to have even a huge imagination to imagine that Jesus handled it in a way sort of like this. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Pass it over. Another thought God gave me this week was payback. When we pass it over to God, we give God an opportunity to pay back the enemy. When I thought about that, I thought, no wonder God says, vengeance is mine. You know, he doesn't want us thinking about revenge. We couldn't do anywhere near as much damage as he could. Could we? Pass it over. Give God an opportunity to pay back the enemy for what the enemy did to his son on the cross. When we believe on his son, Satan will soon be crushed under our feet. Pass it over. Pass it over. I can handle it. I got this. You ever been helping somebody carry something? You go to start carrying and say, you got it? You know, you pick something up, you check with the other person, you got it? And if they say no, do you just walk off and let it drop? No, you wait till they got it. Well, God's quick on the pickup, but still, it's okay to say to him, you got it? You know? Mary became pregnant with the word of God. Yes, she did. She asked the angel to explain it. She said, now, how can this be? I've never been with a man. She was just wanting clarification. She wasn't like Zachariah saying, you expect me to believe that? As a matter of fact, I do. I wonder what kind of notes he wrote while he couldn't talk. I'll tell you later. Yeah, I was stupid. I'll tell you later. We've all been stupid. But we can pass it over to God. If we will. And if we won't, then it's simply because we just don't believe him or trust him. Oh, of course I believe him and trust him. Then pass it over. See, why not just admit it? I just don't believe God can handle this. I don't trust him to do what he said. If you hear yourself say that, you'll be quick to pass it over. If you're honest, you'll say, did I say that? Why would I say something like that? Because that's what was in your heart. Get that kind of stuff out of your heart. And pass it over. Listen. Listen to what you say. We need to listen to what we say, to what we think, what we feel. This last week I was visiting with my nephew, and he was talking to me about a business thing, and he wanted my advice. Hello? And so, you know, I can give him spiritual advice. But while he was explaining this business thing to me, he was explaining how, you know, it probably wouldn't be profitable to begin with, but it would have it in the future. And I listened for a while, and the Holy Spirit just spoke to me. And so I just spoke to him, and I said, I tell you what, if you're going to do this, quit saying that. What's that, Uncle Rod? If you're planning for it not to be profitable, I thought you prayed about what you do. And if God had you do that, what you're trying to do is mixed natural with supernatural. God told me to do this, but it's going to go the natural way. Hello? It shouldn't work that way. He said, oh, man, it birthed in his spirit. He began to pray. He said, God, I repent. I repent for talking that way. Because he heard what he said. If we hear what we say, I think we'll be quicker to pass it on, pass it away. Because you'll have what you say, the Bible says. I prayed, but I don't think it'll work. Which one's going to work? I prayed for this before, but it's never worked before. Pray for it again and pass it over this time. Pass it over. Get a greater revelation from God on it. Look forward to the fulfillment of it. Look forward to the release from the thing that is panicking you. I mean, listen, you know, if you've got something that's bugging you enough to pray about it, can't you imagine what it'd be like if you didn't have it? You know, people want prayer about things. And then God does something for them. And if God does something for us, you know, we should be making a scene. Praising Him. Thanking Him. Last week in jail, a lady came up to me and she said, oh, the doctor called and said that the growth was benign. I said, well, that's real good. But she wasn't leaping and dancing. At least she was telling me it was benign. It seems like that's good news to me. People have things up on Facebook and people are praying and praying and praying about things. And instead of, a lot of times, instead of a, yes, praise the Lord, this is good, that's good, they'll just be another, oh, keep praying, keep praying, keep praying, keep praying. Well, that's okay to keep praying, but how about a little God's good? How about a little I feel His presence? How about let I pass this over to God? How about that? How about a plan for when God gets this finished, man, there's going to be a celebration. Most of the time, just because these are how the percentages goes, most of the time people get an answer and their testimony is, well, it's in remission. So we'll just see in a year what the tests show. Boy, oh boy, you're running a chance of being dead before the test. Why not just pass it over and leave it there? Consider Jesus. Consider. I was thinking about that and about considering Jesus, and God just sort of gave me a little rhyme of think about Jesus. Think about the price He paid. Think about the plans He made. Think about what He did and where He went and stayed. Think about the prayers He prayed. Father, I'm praying for these people. These people are special to me, Father. I'm praying for these people. I don't ask that You take them out of the world. I just pray, Father, that You keep them from the world. You got this, right, God? Jesus prayed about me, God. Remember me? I'm one of those. You got this, right? God's got this. God can handle it. He can handle it. If my tire goes flat and there's a great big hole in the side of it, I can put air in it forever. But it would be a lot wiser to jack it up, take it off, take it down to somebody and say, "You got this?" Let them take care of their part. And when they got it and when it's fixed, you know, when I do take a tire to the shop, I don't leave going, "Oh, gee, I don't know if it'll ever get fixed. I don't know." You know, I don't come home and tell Vicky, "Vicky, we're never going to go anyplace again because this vehicle gets the best mileage and we're not going anywhere till, and I don't think they can fix it." You know, my wife's a smart woman. She'd say to them, "Why don't you take it someplace where you think they can?" You know, have they ever failed to fix it before? "Well, no, but I think this one's, you know, just too bad. You know, I just don't." You know, that sounds silly, doesn't it? How come we do it with God and think it sounds spiritual? How come we ask God to do something, all we can talk about is the whole same thing again? How come we don't pass it on and leave it there? Well, sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. Isn't that right? For some things we do and we got the confidence, and for some things we don't. We don't got the confidence. When I'm riding my motorcycle and the gas gauge is lower than I really think that it ought to be, I pray a lot more about the gas in my tank than I do when it's full. Now, what I should be doing is praying, "God, just keep my tank full all summer. Just keep it full. You got this, right, Lord? Just keep it full." I'd still take the cap off once in a while and check it. If the gauge stayed full for very long, I would suspect my gauge wasn't working. Little faith. There I open it up, still full. Vicky's sneaking out and filling it up for me, maybe. No, I don't think so. Folks, passing it over, you see, the Passover was a success. I was also thinking about Jesus, you know. I mean, if all he could have thought about was what was happening to him, you know, well, for one thing, they'd have never got the nail driven in his hand because he'd have put a stop to it. You know, he wasn't kidding when he told Pilate, "Don't you know? Don't you know?" "Maybe I should." "You got this, right?" "Okay, but I could make one call. One call. I could think one thought. You'd be toast. Everybody that didn't love me'd be toast." But he was still thinking about me and you because he loved us the most. And so, hanging on the cross, I think that he had to do, you know, some fun imaginations like, "These guys are going to disappear, I know it, but can't you just imagine the look on their faces when I show up in 3 days? You know, like when you get somebody a gift, you can't wait to see the expression on their face, right? So hanging on the cross, maybe Jesus did mental gymnastics. It's going to be a great day in 3 days. And note that when he said, "It's finished," it was finished. It was finished. When he said, "It is finished," it was finished. God didn't drag it on for a while longer. There were no more points to prove. You know? Maybe when he said it was finished before that, he said, "Okay, you got this." And poof, there he was. it worked just like we said it would. And if that worked just like they said it would, so will everything else. If we can pass it over. There was not one house when the death angel came through Israel, there was not one house, not one house that had the blood on the doorpost that the death angel came into. Not one. And there were many Egyptians who left with them, so there must have been some Egyptians that did a little painting as well, maybe, or just learned the lesson. I don't know how that goes, but it, not one bit of it failed, and Jesus is our Passover. And so not one word that came out of the Father's mouth concerning us can fail. If we will pass it over, and if we will contemplate the goodness of God, delays won't affect us. The angel said to Zechariah, I heard your prayer. Now it's time for it to be fulfilled. Now that your wife can't do it naturally, now that nobody would think she could have a child, she went off and hid, and Mary went and found her. You know, Mary went and found her. And she was about 6 months long when Mary found her. And the baby leapt within her, and she began to prophesy about the mother of my Lord. Whoa, talk about something that'll keep you passing it over. Mary contemplated these things in her heart. She passed them over to God. Don't ignore it, just pass it over to God. Oh, this is for you. This is for you. Yeah, this is for you too. We're to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Think about what he prayed. Think about him seated at the right hand of the Father. Think about you seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Think about the comfort of the Comforter. Think about the leading of the Holy Spirit. Think about those things. Think about those things. Whatever things are just and right and pure and of good report, whatever things that are desirable. Think about those things. Don't be caught up in the enemy's thinking about the things that he wants you to think about. Those rob, they steal, they kill, and they destroy you. But if you pass those things that he uses to try to steal from you over to God, and you begin to say those things that God has given you to say, and believing those things, you've passed it over. So then just think about the outcome. Consider the answer to your prayers. We pray and we want prayers answered. We need to think about the results of the answer. And sometimes God has great questions. I've prayed about things. He said, what would you do with it? What would it change? Guess it's not a rush, is it? You know? But other things, if he says, okay, what difference is it going to make? I got answers. So then think on these things. Pass it over. Can we do that? Can we pass it over to God? Can we recognize that what God said about the Passover and about Jesus being our Passover, which is our victory, which is our guarantee, and the Holy Spirit, who then Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to confirm in our spirit that everything that he said was true. So we've got the Father saying it, we've got Jesus doing it, we've got the Holy Spirit coming and saying, see, it's just like he said. We have this witness of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit never says, well, don't be too sure about God. Does he? We have those thoughts and the Holy Spirit says, No. Don't doubt God. And if you find yourself doubting God, then say, God, I'm sorry I doubted you. Recognize it for what it is and pass it over. Because he'll take that too. He wants that more than anything. Casting your cares upon God, for he cares for you. I like the idea of that payback, of giving God the opportunity to pay the enemy back. Do you know that it was not easy for God to watch Jesus suffer? It's not like God, you know, because it says it pleased God to do this. It's not like he was there going, no biggie. I'm God. I'll fix all this up. No, it was not easy for God. It's not easy for a father to watch their son, you know? It's not easy. Even if a child is moving into a train wreck, it's not easy to watch it. You don't go, oh man, hope it gets bad enough so they turn around. No, you say, oh Lord, let them learn the easy way. You say, oh Lord, you know, it's not an easy thing. And I think that God is more than happy to restore the good things to us and pay the enemy back for his actions. And so we pass it over to God and we let him handle that. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. If we start trying to figure out how the payback ought to go, we wouldn't do so well. But God knows. Give God the opportunity. Give him the opportunity to bless you. Give him the opportunity to protect you. Give him the opportunity to direct you. Give him that opportunity to help you. Vicky shared that when Blake was going to shoot free throws in that game, he just felt the presence of God and he just knew he was going to make them. And he did. What an opportunity. Now, may he never, ever, ever, ever forget that. May he have that forever as a reminder. And may every young athlete that he's ever near say, I want that too, I want that too. He said, well, he didn't make every shot he made all year. Nobody made those because he felt the presence of God. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you because he has anointed you. And all you have to do is pass over that which is not God, and walk in that which is. Jesus knew that the things that were coming at him were not from God. They were the work of the enemy. But he knew that it would be result in the victory for the kingdom of God. So those things that come against you are not from God. And you know that if you place those under the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ, confront them with the power of the Holy Spirit, you know that you have those results which God has promised. So then imagine those good things, those right things, those just things. Imagine the answer to your prayers, not what you're praying about. Pass it over. Pass it over. Father, in Jesus' name, we pass it over. We've all got those things to pass over. To pass over to you. And to begin to think and speak and act and believe differently on. For Lord, as we come into the times that we have in our nation and in this world, the world is talking perilous times and you know, some people are just trying to get you to come real quick. And I say, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. But there's so many that don't know you yet. So, Lord, just come quickly upon us. And empower us and enable us to walk confidently in your anointing. so that we are displaying such a hope that those want to know an explanation for the hope that we have. And we can say we've just learned to pass it over. Because we know that we'll never be passed over by God. Because God is for us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? We thank you for this truth, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.